Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Good evening. My name is Felton Wooten, and we're having an interview tonight, and we're waiting for our guest to come on, and her name is Candice Conda, and she comes from Chicago, Illinois. And Candice, are you with us yet? All right. Well, Candice is has a program on empowerment of youth, and that has been a passion of hers. Her information or contact information, you can go to www.14.biz, and that's fortenes.biz. And she's a big thinker with a mission that is to empower youth. Candia, have you joined us yet? Candia?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, and how about you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I hope you had a good day.
I had an excellent day. It was wonderful.
Good, good. Well, Candice, before we get started, do you want to give our listeners contact information about how they can get in touch with you?
Yes, they can reach me via phone at 313. Actually, let me give them another number at 773-495-5585. Reach me by email at 14s with a Z, that's fortenes@aol.com, and on my website at fortenes.biz.
That's great. That's great. And again, this is Felton Wooten, your host for the night. And Candice, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, if you were part of a large or a small family?
I actually grew up in Chicago, small family, just a few of us. And when I was right out of high school, I went to the military.
Hmm.
And so I was in the military in the Air Force at 17. And it's interesting because the whole time I was in the military from 17 all the way, you know, to now, I always doodled, I always wrote things. And my mother was a writer, too. She actually was a computer programmer for the University of Chicago. So I always was always writing and doodling. And then, you know, I started writing letters for people that were in the military that needed letters to present to, you know, their boss, or if they got in trouble, they had to write kind of like a rebuttal letter. And I was always writing letters, and I did not know that that would later make me an author, but at the time I just thought I was a, you know, letter writer. So I did about 11 years in the Air Force and decided to get out and move back to Chicago. And I always worked for publications. I worked for the Black Pages, the Women's Yellow Pages, and then I always knew that, you know, I would be doing something in publishing, something in writing, but I didn't put it all together, and I knew I wanted to be a business owner. And eventually, I just started writing manuals, and you know, the next thing you know, someone picked up one of my manuals and said they wanted to turn it into a book, and, you know, from then on, here I am.
Wow. And what was the, what kind of manual did you write?
I wrote a manual. I used to do, my daughter was at a young age into acting and modeling ever since she was two. And I always wanted to help people, would always ask me, well, how does your daughter get that commercial? Or how does she, you know, get that acting part, and they would always ask me questions. So I started putting an entertainment panel together for children, and I wrote a manual to go along with the seminars. And this man who was a publisher was at one of the seminars, and then later I was selling some of the manuals for parents, and then he says, you know what, this should be a book. And ergo, Amber Books published my first book called Get That Cutie in Commercials, Films, and Television.
Wow, wow. So when did you believe that you could accomplish your mission, and what factors came into play?
Well, a lot of different things came into play. Once I realized that, you know, I really wanted to go down the publishing route, I decided to not only just publish books, but I wanted to do something different. I realized the publishing industry, the music industry, was such a big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yes, I'm fine. It's allergy time.
Oh, yes, yes.
I realized that the publishing industry for music and for books was such a challenge. After I wrote my first couple of books, I decided I wanted to try my hand at self-publishing. I could do it. So my first two books, I actually had publishing companies actually publish those books. And then my next three books, I decided to self-publish myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to For Teens Who Think They Know Everything, oh, my God, I really found my niche with that book. It was a youth life skills book. You know, I had seen, you know, Stephen Covey's, you know, seven highly effective, you know, teens and all the rest of these books out here. And I wanted to do something for the everyday average teenager. And I wanted to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And that book has 55 subjects in it. So I wanted to make it happen, and I did.
Right.
It does extremely well. You know, I have it in over 200 schools, and I'm just really excited. And then, of course, my new book is doing well, but that book really just stands on its own.
Uh-huh. And I guess, would you elaborate a little bit more on the steps that you took in turning your passion into a workable business? And maybe talk a little bit more about the self-publishing versus using a publisher, I think you said, for your first two books?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Well, the steps that I took from turning my passion actually into a viable business is when I first started out, it was kind of more, you know, I looked at it as it was a passion, but I also looked at this as just something I happened to be good at.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at it initially as something I'm going to be, you know, making money at. Like I said, I started out with writing letters, writing manuals, you know, things of that nature. And then, you know, to me it was a second nature type of thing. You could give me a subject. You could say, write, give me a couple paragraphs on the green light down the street. And I could
right.
do that, and, you know, and it was just nothing to me. But after I started doing the manual and that first book, which was actually, I want to say, 11 years ago, that's kind of when I was like, oh, my goodness, this is something I can make money from. And, you know, the steps it took, it really just kind of like fell into my lap in a way. You know, I thought maybe one day, you know, years from now, I'll be some great author, but I never, you know, and I thought I would be writing novels or poetry or something to that nature. And it really turned out that my niche really has been self-help books.
Mm.
The nonfiction line of self-help books.
Right.
But like I said, it was just a passion that kind of happened upon me. So what I will say to that note is, don't ignore your passion, or don't ignore something that you're good at, or even a hobby. You know, all of those things can obviously can turn into money-making ventures.
Right.
Now, I do teach entrepreneurship with the state of Illinois, so I'm always going to give that entrepreneurship lecture.
Right. All right. Well, again, would you give information to our listeners about how to contact you again?
Yes. You can contact me via email at for teens, forteens@aol.com. And you can reach me via website at forteens.biz. And the books are up there on the website and for sale. And I can always be reached via phone at 773-495-5585.
All right. Great, great. Now, when you decided to start, what did you view as your greatest challenge?
One of the greatest challenges, I think, in self are you talking about starting the business or are you talking about self-publishing?
I think starting the business. And maybe self-publishing, if you want to speak on that too, because I know we have listeners who are interested in writing books and trying to decide how and what they should do.
Right. I think one of the challenges with business, period, is just knowing your market. You know, people come to me every day, and I have friends that have been writing books, you know, or going to write a book for 10 years. And because, you know what, those of us that have been at it a long time, we make it look easier than it really is. Sure, I can sit down and write a book probably in a day, 2 days if it's something that I really know about. But
yeah.
Putting all the rest of the components in place, you know, the printing company, the editing, and I have two editors for every book that I write. You know, getting editor one's schedule together with editors two schedule. And then having me look at it again and, you know, all that. But, you know, I think the biggest challenge, that's just one part of it. The biggest challenge is knowing your market. You know, people sometimes say, well, I'm going to write a book about myself. And I tell them that was fine 10 years ago, but now we have the same crazy family member. We all have him. He's just called something different. You know,
right.
We all have, you know, we have the molestation. We got crazy kids. If you're going to write a book about yourself or your family, it's got to be something that's so unique and so different that, you know, it's going to be something that's not out here that we all haven't heard about, because we all have a crazy uncle. We all
right.
have an uncle that comes to the you know, the barbecue and he's drunk. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, if you're going to do something about your family, it's got to be something that's really super different, super unique, something that, you know, like I said, my uncle, I have a person in my family that's an alien, and they were going to, like, what? You know, it's got to be that kind of story, you know. So, and then if you're going to write a book, I tell a lot of people, your first book may even, you want it to be, you know, a companion book for your business. You know, to me, that's how I looked at, you know, getting started, that it is a companion book for my business. So a lot of times what I teach is entrepreneurship, life skills, and those sorts of things in my business. So I write books that go along with what I'm doing, because there are many, many times when people either want me to speak and can't afford the book, or they write the books and I don't have to show up, which is fine too. So, you know, they kind of work, you know, in an ancillary manner. But, you know, the other thing that I wanted to tell you earlier about self-publishing versus, you know, having, because I do still have an agent, you know, for a book, you know, that I'm currently working on. But, you know, also to me the benefit has been, you know, the schools buy my books a lot. And if these particular last two books, if a publishing company owned them, they could not afford to have me come in on a regular basis and I wouldn't have as many repeat sales. Because, you know, the second time they order, I give them a break. Or if they want me to come in and speak and they may want the books, the fact that I self-publish them, I can kind of wiggle the price around.
Right.
They had to go through a publishing company, that would not be be possible. But if you're writing science fiction and novels and things of that nature, it's a different animal.
Right, right. Now, speak a little bit on how you, I guess, identify your target audience and market.
Okay, that's actually a great question too, Felton. One of the things I do is I do surveys a lot. I do surveys, like one of my books I'm getting ready to do a reprinting on. And so I do a survey amongst my target market, which in this case is parents, teachers, youth organizations, students. So I'll do a survey, you know, and I might give them a little, you know, piece of candy or dollar, or some of them I ask them to do it for free out of the goodness of their heart. And I ask them, you know, what's missing in this book? What did you like about it? What didn't you like it? What do you need, you know, what needs changing? And then as we go in to do the upgrade on the book, we kind of do it like that. But as far as target market for me, I teach entrepreneurship. I travel around and do entrepreneurship workshops and programs, and I teach life skills. So my books centered around those subjects.
Right.
I think you should pick your target market. It should be something you really know a lot about. Because one of the things is that I sell a lot of books to schools and principals by my book, and you do not know how many times I've been cornered at principal shows asking me, you know, the pedagogy, you know, and all kinds of, you know, other, you know, documentation to substantiate what I've written in my book. So you really should know your market. And I tell people the first go round, you know, make it, you know, something that you really know a lot about, or you really know, you know, you have backup information, research, sources, and those sorts of things.
Right. Now, from start to finish, what's the time frame did it take you to from starting your idea or receiving your idea to actually getting it in a school or in a store?
Well, the first of the, when I say first book, it's actually my third and fourth book, but I'm saying these two were kind of like, both of them were like youth books, entrepreneurship and life skills. The life skills book actually took me 2.5 years to finish it because I did so much research. It had 55 subjects, and I wanted that book to have every single subject that a young person, I used to talk to people all the time, the young people in the high schools, and I would, and they would ask me about, you know, safe sex and birth control, and it made me nervous, and I was like, well, why aren't you asking your parents these things? And I realized that especially in a lot of inner city markets, we don't talk to our kids about things like that. We're getting
right.
better, but we're not there yet. So I approached this book with, a, you know, 12 steps, you know, for every chapter. But I have everything in that book from teen pregnancy, safe sex, teen homosexuality, what to do at the prom, what to do for graduation, budget, credit, entrepreneurship, a complete young person, complete teen Bible. That book took me 2.5 years. My next book, however, did not take that long because that book took me 6 months from start to finish in terms of writing the book and getting the book out. Both of them have the same amount of pages. However, and all of my books have journals at the end where you can write, you know, you can review, though, you know, we can have a refresher at the end. But the teen book, the teen life skills book, I actually have people waiting on that book. And Amazon sells that book every day. I open up my Amazon. Now, I used to have the book in stores and a lot of, like, church bookstores and things of that nature. Right now, a lot of my books are sold off Amazon because Amazon gives, you know, they got special deals that they give to their repeat customers. And, you know, that kind of works out because a lot of people buy, either they buy them off my website or they buy them through Amazon. But I have a lot of repeat customers, so that's a good thing I do. I have a lot of schools that buy my books, you know, when the next, you know, set of the next class is graduating or they're having a life skills workshop or they have an after-school program. I mean, I just got a book, you know, yesterday for 100 books. And it's interesting because I was telling my daughter who's in the music industry that, you know, a lot of people, you know, struggle with, you know, self-publishing. But, again, it's what you just said, you know, and I hope everyone's listening. You have to know your market.
Right.
Because,
and how did you advertise or market or reach the people that are buying the books?
I go to where they are. Like, I will go to, I may buy a booth or go networking at a Gear Up and Trio conference because I know they're going to be counselors there, and those are the people that buy, that actually have the money for this line item.
Right.
You know, the Gear Ups, the Trios, you know, all of the 21st century, they all have grants and they all have book line items. So I go to where the conferences and workshops, where they're going to be. I network with all year round. I go to principal shows and I go to teacher conferences and I talk to, there's always going to be a principal there, a teacher there. I've gone to shows where this is the first year that actually money was tight. I've done school shows where I've made $5,000 in 1.5 days.
Wow.
And for a self-published author, that's dynamic.
Yes, it is. Well, it's really exciting. It's truly exciting. Now, you also teach entrepreneurship.
Right. I work with an organization called IIEE, the Illinois Institute for Entrepreneurship Education. We promote entrepreneurship through the high schools in Illinois.
Okay. And what advice would you give someone going into business?
Almost the same thing that we talked about earlier.
Kind of know,
it's one thing to have passion for business. It's another thing to turn a hobby into the business, which I also recommend because it's something that you love. And a lot of times we say, if you're going to go into business, it should be something that you do for free.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the money is not there, when the business is truly being a headache, when people aren't paying you or production's not going good, at least you can enjoy what it is that you've chose to do.
Right.
And, you know, because a lot of times in business, you know, and a lot of these steps are in my book called Make $1,000 in 35 Days for Young Entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
But I talk about a lot of the characteristics that you need, you know, to be an entrepreneur. And one of the things also that I say is that, you know, it's great to have a support network, and you should have a support network, but don't expect to have a support network.
Would you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Well, you know, one of the things that, I mean, I went through this. You know, my family, when I first told them I was going into business, they were laughing. Like, oh, aha, you know, sure, you know, get you a 9-to-5 and forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just now that the economy is so bad that my family is like, wow, you know, we were wrong and you were right. Now everybody is forced to go into entrepreneurship because everyone's losing their jobs.
Right.
You know, but mm-hmm. When I did it before, it's like, you know, they treat you sometimes like you're, you know, a shoe salesman. You know what I'm saying? Well,
right.
Salesman, which, by the way, is nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I'm just saying, a lot of times I'm saying we should have a support network. It just may not be who you expect it to be. A lot of times you automatically think that it's going to be your close friends and family, and a lot of times it may be a teacher, or it may be a friend, or it may be an uncle, you know, mm-hmm. and a lot of times our feelings get hurt because you're like, oh, gosh, my parents or, you know, my kids in some cases, or, you know, my brothers and sisters aren't supporting my dream. But, you know, so expect that not to be the case. When it is, it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, whoever it is that's supporting you, you need to be around like-minded people.
Right.
They may not be kin to you. They may not be good friends to you. They may not even be somebody you really like.
Good point.
If they're going to help you get to the next step, if they're going to help you get through plan B, C, and D, then they're the right people.
Right. What are some of the mistakes you see people that start a business?
Not having enough capital. You know, a lot of people go into partnerships way too early. You know, it may be somebody, you know, you guys get along kind of okay, and then you
mm-hmm.
decide to go into a partnership, and then you realize, you know, it's almost like a marriage. You know, someone has a credit issue, or they're just not taking the business as serious as you. You may be working more than them. And this is the kind, you know, I mean, I have, you know, a couple of very close friends that went into business together, and they really did not realize how different they were, even about the business aspect of what they were doing. You know, one kind of, you know, really liked going out doing events. The other one kind of liked the computer back end stuff. But then when that other person needed them, they felt like, well, you're supposed to come over and help me. And they were like, well, I told you in the beginning that I don't really like that. You know, and it's just, you know, like I said, partnerships, capital, you know, support networks, you know, maybe getting office space and things of that too soon, not having an exit plan, you know, not having a 6-month, you know, if you're in a business, you should have that 3-year, you know, you should know what you're going to do at the 3-year mark, 5-year mark, you know, 1-year mark, you know, the whole entire, you know, plan and focus.
Right.
You know, and a lot of times if you don't have that overview, you know, that mini snapshot as well as, you know, the long range plan of what's going to happen with your business, and you don't do, you can, you know, a business plan, just those tiny little things, because when your business is not going right, you need to be able to, you know, go back and look at that business plan and say, okay, wait a minute, this is what I said I was going to be doing at the three-month mark. Here's some marketing that I said I was going to be doing, and I'm not doing it.
Right.
Here's some networking with some people that I should have met by now, and I'm not meeting them. You see what I'm saying? So those things, you know, the business plans, the, you know, doing the overviews, doing the long-range goals, the long-range planning, you know, as well as short-term.
Right, right.
And financing is always key.
Oh, yes, yes, you're so right. You're so right. Again, for our listeners, if you don't mind, if you would repeat your contact information so that for those who've not had a chance to get it, they can receive it now.
They can call me anytime at 773-495-5585. They can order books off the web as well as Amazon, but off my website for www.fortens.biz, and they can email me at fortens@AOL.com.
Hi. Are there any mentors or any people in your life that contributed tremendously in your success or your drive or what makes you? And if you'd speak a little bit about that.
Well, of course, my mom, you know, always, because she was really excited, and she actually passed on as I was finishing and did the final, you know, did part of the editing for my first book. And also, you know, my daughter is just a cheerleader for me. She's 21 years old, and everything I've ever done, she's been like a cheerleader. But one of the things that I think that everyone should do, and that is I went to many workshops and met many, many authors before I started, and I listened to the pitfalls. Everyone from Mary B. Morrison to Victoria Christopher Murray. And although I wrote self-help books and, you know, they write novels, you know, I just went out to, you know, all kinds of, you know, just all kind of workshops and, you know, listened to these authors and, you know, looked at, you know, and asked them questions and corresponded with them, and which I still do that because I feel like we should always be a student.
Right.
No one ever knows everything. You know, I'm here to hopefully someone, you know, to teach someone what they can gain from, you know, from our interview, but I still have more to learn. You know, you're always a student. And,
right.
You know, I think, you know, as far as mentors, every author that came before me, you know, is a mentor. And then
mm-hmm.
I did have personal mentors, and like I said, I just kept networking and asking a lot of questions and, you know, and like I said, I'm just talking to everyone and just asking them their experiences and asking them to share with me the pitfalls and challenges that they went through so I could, you know, attempt to thwart some of those and bypass them and capitalize on the things that they did right.
Right. And I guess same model that you use with the books and authors, I'm sure that's your recommendation when someone is thinking about going into a business.
Oh, absolutely. And I think for both of those, regardless if it is starting a business or if you want to start a book, I think you have to do a little bit of research and lay some groundwork, because as soon as you step your toe in the water with either one of these, you know, and which my book will tell you, the Make $1,000 for 35 Days, it's a book for young entrepreneurs. I'm doing an adult version of this book. But what I did is I created a 35-day matrix for you to go in 1 month, 5 weeks, and see if you actually want to start a business. I have 200 business ideas in there. And I also tell you how to get started in each one of those ideas. I tell you what marketing you need, how much startup cost you need, give you some ideas on, you know, what kind of, you know, technical requirements and technology that you'll need, and the whole matrix is designed to see in 35 days, do you really have what it takes to start a business? And after you make your $1,000, either A, have you some startup capital to go forward now, and then I have a business plan in the book and you can go forward, or you know at the end of that, because let's be honest, entrepreneurship and starting a business sounds sexy as I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
To say I'm a business owner and you get the little card that says I'm a CEO, but
right.
How do you I'm here to tell you, at the end of the week, at the end of those, you know, 35 days, you find out if you're an introvert and you know you can't sell anything and you're trying to sell a product, you're either going to have to do one of two things, make a major quick adjustment and find you a salesperson, or you're going to have to learn to like to sell whatever this product is. Or you're going to have to pay for your house with gym shoes or whatever it is that you want to sell. And I have found tons of authors, friends of mine, who have said, oh, my God, I bought a book. Then I let someone give me a place in China to order them. I order 5,000 books, and they've been in the basement now for 6 years, and I can't get rid of them. What am I going to do with these books?
Wow.
I've heard that story so much, and every time I hear it, I get a knot in my stomach. I only order books for what I need. I have a client order 100 books. I call up my printing company, and I say, okay, you know, I need, you know, a couple hundred books. I never keep more than 100 in stock of both of my books.
Right.
And I get an excellent price, and my books have 258 pages in them. So, I mean, it's all about knowing your market and knowing, you know, knowing your market, knowing your customer, and figuring out a way to make it work for you. Yes, I could probably save $1.50, maybe a couple of thousand dollars by ordering these books, but you know what? I don't have the storage space. It's worth it to me and less stress for me to order 200 or 300 books at a time, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
I have a nice enough markup on the book where I can do that and it not be stressful for me.
Right. Now, I know there are the subject of e-books. I hear people talking about them. What's your thoughts on the e-book phenomenon?
Well, I'm not quite sure if for me, I'm just getting around to that point where I want to do two things, two more goals this year. One is e-books. The second one is I've been approached about turning my third book, which is for teens who think they know everything, into Spanish.
Yes.
So I'm in the process of working on both of those right now. The e-book phenomenon, I think, works better with novels and poetry than it does with the self-help book.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to experiment with it this year, and then I can tell you more when I come back on your show.
Okay.
But as of right now, I know that it works really well with novels.
Right.
You know, because people like to read on there. What is the little thing? I can't think of it. The little electronic monitor. They like to, you know, read on those. And they like to, you know, be able to download the book. So I'm getting ready to do that process right now.
Right.
It's something that it was a time issue with me. I do a lot of traveling, a lot of speaking, and I just hadn't had the time to, you know, decide which way I was going to go. I had several different publishing companies, including Amazon, that threw their hat in the ring. And can I bring up something else as well?
Oh, certainly, yes.
A lot of my friends, you know, approach me on a regular basis, and not just friends, but, you know, associates, about writing a book and publishing a book. And Amazon has a sister company or subsidiary, if you will, called iUniverse.com. I am not advocating iUniverse, but if you're, like, just want to see if you kind of, you know, see what the publishing thing is all about, you know, they've got like a little a la carte menu where you can pick your own. You just upload your 8.5 by 11 manuscript and in a Word document, and they let you choose, you know, the fonts and maybe a few pictures. They give you a couple cover choices, and all of this on an a la carte. You know, you charge maybe $99, you get one cover choice, and, you know, a couple of fonts and a couple pictures. For $199, you know, obviously you get three cover choices. That sort of thing. And I don't know that these prices are the same because this was, you know, a couple years ago. But for a lot of people that are really not sure, you know, if you really want to do the book business, it just seems, you know, like I say, again, I'm going to use my, you know, my word, it seems sexy because everyone has a book. Because the book publishing industry, you know, this whole, you know, if you order books, you got to sell them.
Right.
If you don't like selling, self-publishing actually may not be good for you.
Unless
you're in the business that is complementary to this book, that then the book will kind of sell itself. If you say, you know what, I'm giving a real estate workshop, in order to be in my workshop, you got to buy my book. So if it's that sort of thing, then that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a book that you have to push, you're definitely going to have to think of, once I order these 1,000 books, how am I going to get rid of them? So the
right.
Amazon market, it's a small press, and they also put your book on Amazon for you. They do give you like a 20% royalty, something like that. I'm not sure if it's changed or not. But, I mean, you know, they do everything for you. I mean, so those small vanity presses may not be the worst way to go if you're just kind of getting into it. The downside to it is that a lot of times they hold the rights to your book for a year. If you decide, you know what, I don't want you guys to, you know, sell my book or print my book anymore, a lot of times they still, you know, may say, okay, you can sign this contract today, but we've got the rights for another year to sell it.
Right.
You know, that's one of the downsides to that. But the upside is to it, you know, they'll, you know, print your book in a couple of weeks and you don't have to be bothered with editors and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it's just something to throw out. Vanity
right.
press is not always, you know, a bad way to go.
Okay. And again, would you give that information again that it's associated with Amazon.com again?
Yes, my books can be purchased on Amazon.com. You can also get them on my website at www.fortens.biz. You can email me at fortens@AOL.com, and you can reach me via phone at 773-495-5585.
Okay. Now, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners that you haven't had a chance to talk about?
Well, I am a public speaker. I travel all over the country. I do about 70 speaking engagements a year. I have great, great, exciting, and fun workshops for parents and youth organizations and teenagers. And it's, you know, like I said, I've, you know, traveled all around. I really enjoy what I do. I love what I do. And I also talk about book publishing and kind of anything that you want to know. But if there are any listeners that are interested in partnering, you know, need books for their youth programs, youth organizations, or interested in knowing more about entrepreneurship and youth entrepreneurship and actually how to help, you know, help our students and our young people in an economy such as this with this economic downturn, please feel free to call me. And I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, it has certainly been a pleasure talking with you tonight, and I know our listeners are going to benefit from this conversation, and I'm sure you'll probably have some people contact you because I know two or three people that are interested in writing books, and I'm sure they'll be getting in touch with you.
Okay, and thank you so much. You did a great job. I really, really enjoyed this.
Well, thank you. Let me ask you one more question. When you're sitting in your rocking chair, let's say at 80 or 90, what do you want people to say about you and about your life?
I want them to say that I made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be able to say, you know what, I called on her when I needed her. She was there. If it was from a question on book publishing to you know, how do I, you know, what, you know, how do I get my business started? You know, very rarely do I turn people down. You know, I have schools that come back to me to say, I don't have a budget. We really like you to come out. Can you, you know, come out? You know, I just want them to, you know, like I said, I want to change the world and help our teens and young adults one book at a time.
Right.
And I just want them to say that I made a difference.
Right. Well, it sounds like you are making a difference. You have made a difference, and I know you'll continue to make a difference. So, again, it has truly been a pleasure having you on tonight. And if you don't mind, just one more time telling our listeners how they can reach you.
They can call me at 773-495-5585. They can reach me via email at fortenz@AOL.com. And they can get my website at www.fortens.biz. And I hope that I am also, I would like to say one last thing. I'm the daughter of the new pop princess of Chicago. Her name is Demi Lobo, and she has a new single out, Drama Queen, and I hope that one of you guys will be interviewing her in the next couple of weeks.
All right. That sounds good. You're part of the Big Thinkers, and we certainly thank you for being on tonight.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
All right, good night.
Okay. Bye-bye, and have a great evening.
All right, you too.